Thank you for joining Truth in Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth in Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthinlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth in Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth in Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
No, we know better than that. But here, the people of God, here, the nobles and some of the other people were just simply looking at them work and didn't want to roll up their sleeves and do what they need to do. I tell our ministry leaders all the time, here it is, that if serving is beneath you, leadership is beyond you. Oh my God. Yes, sir. If serving is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. Oh my God. Nobody don't want you to tell me what to do, and you can't roll up your sleeves and show me what to do. Oh, yo, you got the right one, because yeah, I go out there, I grab me a weed eater. Oh no, every time I pull up on this ground, I go get me a bag and a little stick. I say, where my little stick at? I go out there and pick trash up. I do what I need to do. I don't sit up and call nobody and tell them what needs to be done. I know I don't work past work trying to get the work. Oh no, but no, I do what I need to do. If serving is beneath you, leadership is beyond you. And I want you to get this in your mind. See, some people do more work than others. I had to get this in my spirit when I was serving at Philippian Community Church. I had to understand that my highest and best use was the gift of service. I am a servant, and I serve. Every core of my being is serving. It's what I think about. It's what I do. I look for an opportunity to serve, and I had to get this. I had to get this for myself, because when you have a gift of service and you act on it and you do it, it really shows you the people around you that's not doing anything. And you're saying, well, I'm doing everything. I'm showing up early, I'm staying late, I'm from get bright to get dark. Come on here. Oh, we Sunday morning, 6:30 prayer, then Sunday school. No, before you go to Sunday school, I was running, going to get to go to Crystal's for the bishop, so he can get his bacon, egg, and cheese on toast, then go to Subway for Mama Jones, because she want a BLT. Come on here from Subway on a Sunday morning. I'm here. Then after that, go open up all the buildings, then be back to teach Sunday school at 9:30, and then Sunday morning worship at 11:35, then we go to the prison at 5:30, then Monday we had something to do. Tuesday we had service. Wednesday we was in prayer. Thursday we did something. Friday we had Saints night. Saturday I went to the jail. And then the vicious cycle started all over again. And here I'm sitting there saying, my God, I'm working my fingers to the palm. What is everybody else doing? And God had to rebuke me and say, it doesn't matter what nobody else is doing. It's about what I told you to do. You just got to know that some people going to work harder than others. Oh, the problem is you looking at everybody else and wondering what they're doing and what you are doing. You cannot maximize on what God has called you to do looking at what somebody else is doing. You got to do what God have called you to do. If you're the only one here, you got to keep on serving with a smile. If you're the first one here, you got to keep on serving with a smile. If you're the last one here, you got to keep on serving with a smile. Oh my God, you know how I can tell you this, because I did it myself. Oh my God, I'm trying to tell you that you got to know that some gonna work harder than others, and some will not work at all. I don't care if you don't work. I don't care if you don't lift a hand. I don't care if you don't pitch in. I don't care if all you do is talk. I don't care if you just say this and say that. I'm going to keep on serving and I'm going to keep on working, because my commander is my commender. The one that has commanded me to work is the one going to tell me good job. If the pastor never say good job, if the pastor never say good job, girl, good job, sir, that's an I to you. Oh no, I want you to overlook me, because when man overlook me, that's God. He going to look on me. Yes, sir, I got to go. Yes, I do. I got to go. You got to know. You got to work. You got to work. You got to serve if you want to repair the breach. Now, if you straight with the breach, you just keep on sitting there collecting dust. If you straight with the breach, just keep letting cobwebs get you. if you're okay with the breach, but when you want to repair the breach, you got that. When you repair the breach, you will do it. Look, it's on the screen. When you can overcome the ridicule. Uh-huh. Oh, I love that. When you can repair the breach, when you can overcome the ridicule. I'm not making this up. Look at verses 1 through 3. Look what it says. Nehemiah 4, 1. Now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was what? Angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. I told you last Sunday, I believe it was, all this stuff running together now, but I've told you that here, whenever it is that you're doing something meaningful, whenever you're building and repairing and doing what God has called you to do, when the enemy is involved, you ought to tell the Lord thank you, because any work of God, anything that God is legitimately in, the enemy will always stick his head up. I told y'all on Thursday night that the devil come to church every time the door is open, and he's not walking down the street saying, oh, there go a church, let me go in there. Oh no, some of y'all bringing me here, come on here, can I tell you, he hitchhiked in here every single Sunday. But that's okay, because that means we're doing the work of the Lord. And Sanballat, they heard that they were rebuilding, and the Bible says he was very angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered, he mocked, he picked at the people of God. Look how he picked at them. Verse number 2 says, and he said in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria. Now, I can't run past that too fast. Leave it up there for me, though, because now Sanballat has sprung into action. One time he was just talking, but now he has a whole army there. He's trying to stop Nehemiah from doing what God has called Nehemiah to do. He's trying to stop them from rebuilding this wall, stop them from repairing this wall. Now Sanballat is doing more than talking. Now he has a whole army there with him, trying to intimidate Nehemiah and them to stop doing what God has called them to do. Look what the text said in verse 2. What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? See, when you're working, people think they get a misconstrued. They think what you're trying to do, you're trying to get in the limelight. They think you're trying to just serve yourself. Will they sacrifice? Will they sin? You can't just read that with a regular voice. You got to read that with like a villain voice. Will they finish in a day? Come on, you just can't read that stuff like you got to get there. You got to sneer at it. Will they finish in a day? I don't know how. Will they revive the stones out of the heap of rubbish and burn the burned ones at that? Will they revive the stones? That's what I started to preach. Revive the stones. Because you got to take what you have and revive it. I got to keep going. I can't get. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, Tobiah the Amorite was beside him. And he said, yes. Look at what he said. He's getting slick too. He said, yes. What they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break it down. He'll break down their stone wall. He says, if a fox, a little like little mammal, a little fox, if a fox jump on the wall, it's gone. In other words, what the devil is telling them, the enemy is saying, this is a type of devil, type of demon. Here, what he's telling them is what they're doing is meaningless. What they're doing is not meaningful. What they're doing will not stand the test of time. And so oftentimes, many of us, we don't repair the breach, and we don't continue to go because we can't handle the ridicule because of what they say. Because what people say. We cannot repair the breach because we don't handle the ridicule. What is ridicule? Ridicule is to make an object of laughter. Somebody just poking fun at you. Ridicule. Nobody's ever had anybody just go out their way just to think that you can be the butt of all their jokes. You've never been around anyone that implies a deliberate or often, listen to this, malicious belittling. Because they don't have anything good to say, they try to tear you down. They try to break. This is what Sanballat and Tobiah are trying to do. They're literally ridiculing them. They're poking fun at them. They got a little audience. And I love it. People do that. They wait till they get the audience and they want to be slick. They wait till they got a little crowd. And they say, look, fellas, ha, 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 ha. I can see it in the thing. Ha, 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 ha. Come on. You know they laugh like that back in the day. Ha, 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 ha. Come on. They standing around and they poking fun at Nehemiah and doing what they need to. Oh, don't look at me like that in that tone of voice. You know your family laughing at you. They trying to figure out why you do all this. that you do. Who in the world? Nobody don't want you. You ain't got old. Nobody don't want to be with you. You this and you that. Oh, you ain't never going to do. You running up and down to that church. Oh, yeah, you doing that for nothing. Oh, and they laugh and they mock and they ridicule. But here, can I tell you that God will give us the strength that we need to repair the breach when we can endure the ridicule, when we can endure what people say. Oh, my God, I've already told you, man, we don't put enough emphasis, put enough weight on what people actually say. When people are saying something, here it is, it will hurt, but it should not stop you. When people talk, come on here, whenever you're trying to do something for God, people will say whatever they want to say, but it should not stop you from doing what God has called you to do. Oh my God, we act like we're so tough, but here I heard one British writer, look what he says, it's not on the screen, just listen to me. He says that ridicule is the language of the devil. Ridicule, when someone ridiculed me, that's the language of the devil. Shakespeare called ridicule paper bullets of the brain. Ooh, if you want to shoot somebody, ridicule them. You want to talk about them, break them down, belittle them. Shakespeare said they're paper bullets of the brain. They try to shoot at us. And here, you heard it say paper bullets, though, because it can't do us any harm. We have to know that people are going to talk. People are going to say what they need to say, but I got to keep on going. Let me finish this thing, because y'all dropping off the bus here, and I'm going to just keep on driving the bus, and I'm just y'all dropping off, though. If you want to get off on the next stop, that's cool, too. Let me keep on going. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 4 says, here, oh God, look what Nee did. Nee, I told you we got the nickname these fellas. Nee said, hey, they talking. I love Nee because they're talking to him. They ridicule him. Sanballat and Tobiah, they're talking about them, making fun of them, and talking about them in their faith. And look what Nee did in verse 4. It says, hear, oh God. Oh, I love you, Nehemiah. Thank you for your example. Because when people are ridiculing me, when people are talking about me, I don't have to waste my time and my energy talking back to you. My job is to talk to him. Come on here, somebody. Nehemiah showed us how to overcome ridicule, how to deal with ridicule. You ought to talk to the Lord. Here Nehemiah says, look what he said in verse number 5. He said, do not cover their guilt. He said, and let not their sin be blotted out from their sight. Nehemiah, a little high. But here, we can't pray like that no more. That's Old Testament. Can't pray like that no more. Can't be saying, God, get them, God. No, you can't do that. You can't be sitting around. You know, God don't like ugly. Break their knee, God. He on that prancing around. God let them just down. You don't got to let them die, but God, just let them, just hurt them real bad. Just scare them real quick, God. Jump out the closet on them or something, God. No, you don't got to kill them. Now, just bother. Come on, y'all. Oh, y'all don't pray like that. Huh? I guess y'all just a super saved crowd. I guess 11:15 heathens. But here, I prayed the prayer. I said, God, you don't got to kill them, God. Just let them disappear. Just take them somewhere. Let them just fall off the globe. You don't got to kill them, God, but just get them out of it. But you can't pray like that. That's the Old Testament. Look. Somebody was about to highlight that script. You can't highlight that. This is what I want you to highlight. Look what Nee say. Nee say, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. Did you see what Nehemiah said? Here, Sanballat and Tobiah are ridiculing him and his men. But Nehemiah has enough understanding to know that Sanballat and Tobiah are not provoking him. They're provoking God. And not only that, they're doing it in the presence of the builder. So Nehemiah says, God, they're the one that's hurting you. God, they're coming up against you. They're coming up against your word. They're coming up against your will, God. They are bothering you, and you got to have an understanding of that. You got to know that God has your back and know whatever it is that you're doing, that God is the one that commissioned you to do it. You got to talk to God. Let me tell you what this great man of God said, how to handle ridicule. Here's on the screen. I can get rid of ridicule when I release it to the only righteous one. Oh, there's a whole bunch of R's, and it sound good to me. How to get rid of ridicule? I can get rid of it when I release it to the only righteous one. You see, I said only in parentheses because I want to remind you that here, because you're the object of today, because you're the one that's getting picked at today, because you're the one getting mocked at today, that doesn't exempt you as if you never did anything wrong. That don't exempt you as if you didn't have a hand to do with it. Here, oftentimes when we do something to someone, we just sit there and look shocked when they retaliate. We're looking shocked when they get back at us. We're looking shocked, but then here we don't remember all that stuff we said. Oh, y'all getting real quiet. I didn't know all y'all was gonna get off on the next stop. Here, can I tell you that here you can don't forget about what you did. Don't forget about your part in the matter. Don't forget about what you did even to someone else. You may not have did nothing to the person that's bothering you now, but what did you do 2 relationships ago? What did you do before? Well, how did you handle this individual before? And here, I can get rid of ridicule when I release it to the only righteous one. I'm trying to repair the breach. And the way that we can repair the breach is we got to be able to handle ridicule. Here, did you see that picture I had there, that dog? I love that picture. Because it reminds me. It doesn't remind me, hey, did the cat in the field, the cow jumped over the moon. That don't remind me of that. But it reminds me, I don't know this nursery rhyme. None. Here, listen. It reminds me of the story I read some time ago of a politician. Listen to me. This politician was running for this particular office. And the campaign got real nasty, got real vicious, real malicious. And here, his opponent that he was running against put a bunch of lies out about him. Told all his lies and pumped that to the press. And just malicious, just lies. And so the politician, his team said to him, well, what are we going to do, boss? How are we going to respond to their ridicule? The politician answered, and I love it. Politician says, my dog, every time there's a full moon, my dog barks at it every night. Just barks at the full moon. And what does the moon do? The moon never retaliates. The moon keep on shining. Good God Almighty. That's how you retaliate to ridicule. You just keep on shining. You keep on going. You don't got to retaliate every time. They talking. Let them keep on talking. Let them keep on talking. Let the dogs bark. Let them keep on talking. Let them say what they don't say. My God, y'all looking at me like a cow looks at a new gate. I'm trying to tell you, that's some good stuff right there. Preach, Pastor Kobe. Can I buy the CD myself? Can I get two? It's only $5, right? I got $10. Can I get two CDs to download on the app? Okay, can I tell you that here? Can I tell you that? How do you overcome ridicule? You got to be able to let people just bark. Let people just talk about. Let them keep on talking. Just because you sin for me, that don't mean I got to come. Just because you in your flesh, that don't mean I got to respond. Just because you talking trash, that don't mean I got to get back with you. But no, I'm going to let you say whatever it is you got to say and do whatever it is you got to do. I'm going to keep on glowing. I'm going to keep on shining. I'm going to keep on working. I'm going to keep on giving God some glory, and I'm going to keep on giving God some honor. Let me blaze out of here. How can you repair the breach when you have the right mind? Look at somebody and say, you need the right mind. You need the right mind. Yes, sir. You need the right mind. You cannot take old wine and put it in new bottles, but no, you need a new mind. Oh, Patty would say, Patty would tell you, you need a new attitude. Ooh. You need a new attitude. You need a new mindset. Come on here, somebody. Here, look what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 4:6. He says, so we built the wall. Look at the persistence of this man of God. They're working. Folk are talking. People are ridiculing. Here, look. Everybody's not working. They're working harder than others. And they keep on working because they got the right mind. The Bible says, so we built. So we built. So folk talking. So I'm going to keep on building. But they don't think I can ever accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish. So I'm going to keep on building. They think I'm a fool for doing this. So I'm going to keep on building. That's what the Bible said. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, my God. So that's what we got to do. We got to say so. Oh, you talking about me? So you got this to say? So you thought I shouldn't have bought that? So you think I shouldn't have that? So you think I ought to do this? So I don't care about, but I'm going to keep on building. My God, this is good to me. He said, so we built the wall, and all the wall were joined together to its half height, for the people had a mind to work. You want to repair the breach? You got to have the right mindset. The people had a mind to work. The wall got rebuilt to half its height. They're halfway to the point, but they can't stop when they get to the halfway point. They got to keep on pushing to get done what it is that God have called them to do. The people had a mind to work. They didn't care about what was going on. The devil was trying to divide them, but no, they were coming together, being united together to have a mind to work together. I want to know, do you have the right mindset? See, some of us have a mind to talk, but we don't have a mind to work. Some of us got a mind to complain, but we don't have a mind to work. Some of us got a mind to supervise, but we don't have a mind to work. Some of us got a mind to talk about this and talk about what we want, but we don't have a mind to work. You got to have a right mindset. It's called the work of the ministry. ministry, it feels like some work sometimes. Come on here, somebody, the work of the ministry, you got to roll up your sleeve and do what it is that God have called you to do. I'm trying to look for somebody that has a passion to build. I'm trying to look for somebody that knows it's a good time to build. I'm trying to look for somebody that know that whatever God have put you in the kingdom for such a time as this, it's time for you to roll up your sleeve and do what God has called you to do. We can't do this by ourselves. We can't do this without your help. Come on here, we can't do this without your participation. We need to be able to do what God have called us to do. Oh, let me fast forward this. Oh my God, I'm just going to finish this because I just feel like it. Look what Nehemiah said. Nehemiah, I'm skipping. Just follow me, Rob. It says here, let me give you another point. Here, you want to know when you're ready to repair the breach? You're ready to repair the breach when you get tired of the trash and not let the trash tire you. Oh my God, you know when you're ready to repair the breach? You repair the breach when you get tired of, you don't let the trash tire you. You get tired of the trash. So many of us walk away from the things of God because we're tired of all the junk. We're tired of all the trash. We're tired about all the back talking, all the this and all of that. And we talk about what's going on in the house of God. I don't understand that. They don't like you on your job and you don't quit. But no, you'll quit a church because they don't like you. Oh my God, what kind of foolishness is that? Oh, you went out to eat and got food poisoning, but that didn't stop you from going out to eat. You went to another restaurant or you went back another time. Oh my God, me and my wife went to a particular restaurant. We went about 3 times and every time we went, the meal was bad. But somebody was telling us that it's so good food. It's the best food we ever had. We went back again. After the first time, we didn't like nothing. We said, we're going to try it again. We went back again, a second time, a third time, and didn't like anything. Come on here. We kept going back even though the food was bad. And we said, my God, something got to give. Maybe we ordered the wrong thing. Maybe the chop chef was off. Come on here. We kept on trying because we really value the person's opinion that told us to go. They'd never been wrong before. Every time they told us something was good, it was good. So maybe something wrong with us. Maybe we need to fast. Maybe we don't need to eat nothing. Come on here. We were trying everything and we still kept on going. But here you go to a house of God, and because there's some trash in the house, you don't want to be a part of it. You and the devil and his auntie is a liar. Look what Nehemiah said. Nehemiah said, in Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. They said, our strength is running out. We don't have no more strength. He said, there's too much rubble. There's too much trash. There's too much debris. The people are getting weary. The people are getting tired because of all the trash, because of all the junk. But that's when you got to roll up your sleeve and know when there's trash. You can't let the trash bother you. You got to get tired of the trash. You got to get to the point that where you say, no, I'm trying to repair the breach. No, I got something to do. No, God has called me to work. God has called me to live. God has called me to do something. Put your hands again. Give him some praise in here.